Thomas Jefferson, who the author of the Declaration of Independence, wrote some lines that are very familiar to all of you when he said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." I'd like to pull out two words: self-evident. And today I'd like to just kind of launch a little mini series on self-evident truths. Self-evident, not needing to be explained, obvious. Self-evident truths. And today, based upon our text in Matthew 6, the first message is simply titled this way: We love our valuables. We love our valuables. Now, I just said this is self-evident. Don't anybody argue, all right? Because I'm on good authority. Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up. We might use the word hoard. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now here's the self-evident truth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, that's what Jesus said. You can argue with him. I don't recommend it. But he says it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's why I titled it, We Love Our Valuables. You love your valuables. I love my valuables. And you know, from our earliest days as toddlers to wherever you are now in the journey, we all have been treasure hunters and treasure keepers. You've probably at times stumbled across something your child had stored away. You didn't know it was there. It might have been an alarm to find something. It wasn't that long ago. I know one of our granddaughters, our youngest grandchild, her mother found something in the dresser that was a little bit surprising. You might have found something your boy had tucked away. It was valuable to him. He had hunted, he had found it, and now he was keeping it. Well, this may sound very lighthearted, but I've got news for you. This is quite serious. This is really important. And so I want to just kind of work with you through this and stay with me now all the way to the end, all right? First thing I want you to note with me and think with me about from this text, I want you to accentuate your treasures. Emphasize, or we might say highlight, embolden, underline your treasures. For you see, treasures are personal. How did Jesus put it? For where their treasures are, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, treasures are personal. They're valuable to you. Now one way you know this is so, you know this is so. Someone has lived an extended life and they pass on. And then the family has to do something with those items, right? Y'all did not drink caffeine this morning, apparently, all right? Okay, I got a job on my hands. All right, listen. I thought it was just Derek. Okay. But treasure, see, Cole, here's what happened. You've seen that, you know this is true. A person will pass on, and then the family has to deal with all those items. And those things that were so valuable to that individual can one day be in a yard sale for 25 cents, 50 cents. There might even be some big bags over there and boxes over there, and they'll say, you can have all this and that for $5. And then when the day is done, this guy comes by called a dealer, and he just makes an offer for all that remains. I think I probably have told you this, but years ago, my wife and some others had a yard sale. Our son, he was quite young at the time, but he had a bicycle he wanted to get rid of. And so he had a bicycle there. He was going to sell it at a yard sale. My wife said, now don't jump at the first offer. First man came by and said, I'll give you $5. He threw out that hand. His day was done, you know? But it's interesting, what was valuable to one person, now another person can just get rid of it. You see, that is the essence of valuables, of treasures. They're personal. They're valuable to you. And now we're not talking about good versus bad right now. We'll get to that in just a moment. But just the essence of treasures. I've got some things that are treasures to me that wouldn't be worth 5 cents to you. I think I've told you, when I was a wee little boy, my grandma made me a little bear out of dishcloths. She whirled them up and connected them up, and she just had a bear head and put it on top of that thing. You wouldn't give a plug nickel for it. I would take all your money for it, all right? My grandma gave that to me when I was a boy, and she's been gone to heaven for many years now. So you see, it's valuable to me. It's personal, right? All right. Treasures not only are personal, but then treasures, obviously with that, treasures are prized. We prize them. That's why we call them treasures or valuables. We put a price on them. For instance, in Matthew 13, Jesus said in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, he prized it. He placed a value on it. It was meaningful to him, and thus he made such a sacrifice. Also, treasures then are protected. Maybe you've got a safe, or you've got a secret place, or somehow, or you put it on the high shelf where little Junior can't get a hold of it and break it. But somehow you take some steps to protect that treasure. For instance, in Joshua 7, in verse 21, there's a guy named Achan, and he said this, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. Now he should not have done that, but the fact is he prized it. It was valuable to him, and thus he did what? He protected it. He hid it. He concealed it. He was trying to keep it. So just first of all, accentuate your treasures. Your treasures, as Jesus said, your valuables. What is it that is valuable to you? And there's a litany of lists, and again, there can be bad or it can be good. We haven't gotten to that yet, all right? Just what you consider valuable, all right? Don't go getting pious on me yet, all right? You've got valuables of all sorts. All right, got that. So accentuate. All right, now secondly, locate your treasures. What did Jesus say? For where your treasure is. In other words, there's a location for your treasure. And then he tells us how to find it. In fact, just ask two simple questions now to locate your treasure. And the first one simply is this, where is my heart? Because isn't that what he said? He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, so where is my heart? Where is my affection? Where is my attention? What is it that is on my heart, that my heart has a fondness for? What is it? Now again, many different things could be here, all right? But that's what Jesus says bluntly, plainly. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It does no good to act like something else is really my treasure. Jesus said, that's not so. Your treasure is where your heart is. That's your treasure, you see, that you love it. You have a fondness for it. It has meaning to you. Okay? But not only where is my heart, but I add this question. Where then is my hope? Because you see, that's what we can do with our treasures. We can put our hope in our treasures, right? Let me remind you of this passage here in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Who says the Bible is not relevant, all right? All this is a family now. Apparently dad or mom, dad and mom have died. And so here's two brothers apparently who are the heirs. And apparently there's a little bit of tension between the two over who's going to get the dollars and the dirt. You ever heard of that happening? You ever heard of any families falling out and all because of dollars and dirt? Happens all the time. How sad it is. But so that's what it says. You be the arbitrator over the estate. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Now note, and he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And I've said many times before, many Americans would say, "I beg to differ with you, Jesus." Because the attitude in America is, for many, it does. The abundance of my stuff does give a measure of my life. That's who I am. That's what I am about. That my life does consist in the things, in my treasures. Jesus said it doesn't. Jesus said that is not the measure of a man. How many toys you've got. You know the saying, don't you? The difference between men and boys. You know what it is. The price of their toys. That's the only difference between men and boys. But Jesus, hey, it doesn't matter how much you've got. That does not measure you as a man. Now hear me. The Bible does not teach that wealth is wrong or immoral. It's actually amoral. It's what you do with it that can be immoral. And the sad thing is what too many allow it to do to them. For you see, it can cause people to think, I'm okay. I'm secure. I've got the stuff I need, and therefore I've got my life all put together. It wasn't that long ago I told you about going to the hospital years ago. I was trying to help out a little bit at the time. They called and asked me to go visit someone. I did not know the man, but I can still see him. He was sitting on the side of the bed, his feet hanging down. He was dressed. He was waiting to be discharged. Sometimes that takes a little while, and there he was sitting. And so I walk in, and he introduced himself. I introduced myself. We strike up conversation, and here was the man. And he sits there to a stranger, and he admits this. "I've got all the stuff. I've got all the things. I've got all the toys. And my life is a mess." Now, he admitted that. He had lost his family, his wife. But he had everything that the American mentality is, this is the measure of one's life. Jesus said it does not consist in the abundance of things. Let me ask you, where is your hope? Where are you placing your hope? Oh, I hope and pray we are. And so locate your treasures. All right, so accentuate, locate. But now we're going to get a little bit more entailed here, all right? A little more involved here. All right, third thing. Now, evaluate your treasures. Evaluate your treasures. Let's take inventory. Let's take stock of our stuff, of our treasures, of what is valuable to us that we love, because where our treasures are, what? There our heart is. We love that stuff. Don't deny it. All right? For instance, material treasures are temporal. We will eventually lose them. Right? Right? You will. 1 Timothy 6:7, what does it say? "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." You see, everything you have got of and from this world, and listen, you may have worked hard. That's not the issue. It is not to in any way accuse you just because you have things. That's not the issue. But you need to understand its place. You aren't with us. Go back and read Ecclesiastes. You read there a man who allowed his position and his possessions to distort his perspective on life, to the point that that wealthy, rich man said, I hated life. Either you handle your possessions, they handle you. But the truth is, you're going to eventually lose them, either by decay, by defraud, or by death. All that stuff you're going to lose. Material treasures are temporal. They can be used for good. They can be used for God. They can be used for the blessing and benefit of others. That is true. It's just we seem to have a hard time doing that. But then on the other hand, spiritual treasures are eternal. We'll never lose them. And I tell you what, the songs that were sung here this morning, they're all testimonies to the treasures, to the riches that we have in Christ and how wealthy we really are. Jim Elliot, of course, is well known as one of the five young men who died in 1956 down in South America, Ecuador. And he's remembered for this saying that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You see, spiritual treasures are eternal. You know, we're just getting started down here. We really are. We're just getting started. This is just a little speck of time that is passing so quickly. And friend, if your life is totally invested in what you can get out of this world, then the day is coming very soon when you will be utterly bankrupt. You won't have anything. But my friend, if you have turned to the riches of God's grace, God's goodness, and God's glory, I tell you, when the day of death comes, yes, you'll leave behind the material things. But your bank account in heaven, it will not be depleted at all. You still will have all the riches of God in Christ Jesus. Peter put it this way. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. A lot of people, all they're leaving behind is an inheritance. But for the saints, for the saved people, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. My friend, in Christ, that's yours. That is yours. That is yours. Now, we're to be good stewards with what we have down here, yes. But friend, it pales in comparison to what we have in Christ. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Paul said, you know what? I reckon the sufferings of this life, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I don't know, several years ago now, I had a graveside service. That's all we had, that was a graveside service. I knew because I had met with the family, I knew there was tension. Because in times like that, they don't hide it. I knew things were not good. That's why I think I should have called on Pastor Robert, you know, and said, brother, I think you need a... No, actually, this was before Robert's time. This is going back several years now. But we had a graveside service. I did not learn this until sometime later. At the graveside service, that one of the members of the family I did not expect to be there was there, but I did not pick up on the fact that the spouse was not there and didn't take note of it. During our time at the grave, an in-law stayed at the house, the home place, and had someone come and change all the locks on the house. Isn't that pathetic? That is absolutely pathetic. To allow the little bit of mess we have down here to so captivate you that you would plot to do that to the family. Oh, my friend. Sophie and I right now are just watching her dad get weaker and weaker and weaker. He is so weak now. And you know, I mean, really, his life now is basically trying to come up with something to eat. I mean, it's so little that he eats now. You know what? All the things around him are absolutely meaningless. Absolutely. They would do no good to go to his bed and say, look out there at the vehicle. Look, look, let me remind you of this or that. Those things mean nothing. God has downsized his life to all that now matters are the riches in Christ. That's all. For I'm telling you, spiritual treasures are eternal. We'll never lose them. Now, material treasures, on the other hand, are inadequate in the day of trouble. Let me give you this passage from the Old Testament in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, and then verse 18. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Just complacent, you see. Therefore, their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. You know, over in the book of Job, you have that repetition. There was a day when, and there was a day when, and there was a day when. Friend, I believe with all my heart, you will not live your life here without having at least one or two of those days when something will come your way. And all the material things that you may have accumulated, even in a noble, honorable way, they will not suffice to undergird you and to hold you and to help you and to strengthen you as you go through that day of your trouble. It will not work. It will not matter to say, do you know how much money I've got in the bank? Can I tell you about the job I have? Can I tell you about my position? Can I tell you about my rank? Can I tell you about my boat? Can I tell you about my houses? It won't matter. You'll need something far more stable than that. Something that can help you that you cannot do for yourself. Material treasures are inadequate in the day of trouble. Oh, but on the other hand, spiritual treasures are adequate in the day of trouble. Now you see, believers hurt just like anybody else. We all hurt. We all go through things that hurt. But a believer has the help and the hope of the Lord. That's right. You don't know the Lord, you don't have that. Believers have the help and the hope of the Lord. The psalmist said, he's my helper. That's a good word. That's a good word. Because all of us can fall. Mr. David's had several of those lately. I was right behind him the other day, and his legs just went like jelly. Man, I was hugging him, trying to hold him. Hey, that's the way we are, spiritually, emotionally. I don't care who you are. There's something out there tougher than you. There's something tougher than you. There's something that can take you down. You need the help and the hope of the Lord. Listen to what Paul said to the believers here in Colossians chapter 2. Talk about treasures. Look what he says. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul, what is it, man, you're so engaged about? What is it so you're so caught up about? Look what he says. That their hearts may be encouraged. Oh, yes. Being knit together in love. Now note. And attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, right there, we just put Bill Gates to shame, okay? Warren Buffett doesn't have a clue of such wealth as what we have just read in the verses right here in Colossians. Amen? I mean, we're not looking at puny accounts like they've got. Rather, you have just looked into the vault of heaven. You have read the checkbook of God. Look, those two last two verses again. That their hearts may be encouraged being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That'll get you through. That'll hold you up. That'll bless you. That'll give you joy when tears flow down your cheeks. Well, it sure will. I remember well, this has been many years. Why do I keep saying that? Many years ago. Man, excuse me. But nonetheless, it is true. We used to go to Florida to a conference down there with Jim and Teresa. And there was this mountain of a man that would sing, Chip Dorton. He was probably 6'4", 6'5", and he was big. And he had I believe even in that large auditorium, he probably could have sung without a microphone because he had a set of lungs on him. He would sing, and the choir would join with him, and of course all those preachers down there would go crazy because it was so good. He got cancer. Did not know it the last time we were at the conference. He was there that he was that bad off, but he sung. And then he died. And the following year we went back. The choir got up and sung. And of course they played a video of him singing with the choir. And of course that just knocked everybody's feet out from under them just about, you know. But you know what? I remember Dr. Vine saying, the choir is singing with tears flowing down their cheeks, but with joy in their hearts. That's so true for a Christian. It is. That's how wealthy we are in Christ. Now, I need to remind you, treasures can be self-serving or God-honoring. You see, I just found his obituary the other day. I've mentioned him a number of times. His name is Charles Graves. We heard it, Charlotte, years ago. And I remember he said this. He said, a fallen man, he says, we still have that capacity to love. He said, the problem is, he says, we love the wrong things and we love them too much. But we can use our treasures in a way that honors God or just serves us. You remember this passage, no doubt, now, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. This is talking back to those two brothers earlier who were fussing over their inheritance. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He succeeded. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with a farmer having a bumper crop. And he thought within himself, all right, here's the slippery slope. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, that guy, he could have been a successful, even wealthy farmer and still honored God. He could have. I believe the Bible's all about succeeding. God's way, in a way that honors the Lord. And so evaluate now your treasures. You've got some today that are material. Yes, you do. Recognize what they are. They're temporal. You're going to lose them. Recognize them for what they are. They're inadequate. They are not sufficient for your day of trouble. But I hope and pray you have spiritual treasures too. And rejoice today they're eternal. And rejoice today that they are adequate in the day of your sorrow. But now let me leave you with one other. I want to challenge you now to designate your treasures. Now we've been kind of taking inventory here, kind of auditing our treasures. And first I want to remind you, you have lesser treasures. But do you have one treasure that is superior to all others. You have a lot of lesser treasures, valuables, but do you have one that is superior to all others? The old expression, the rest of them wouldn't hold a candle to that treasure. Secondly, you have treasures that are precious. My grandma's little teddy bear, right? Precious to me. Silly to you. I got a brass horse. My bookshelf, it was my granddaddy Jack. He died the year I was born. That's precious to me. You've got some items that are precious. But do you have one treasure that is priceless? I want to submit to you my opinion now on what I think are really the true treasures. Relationships. I believe relationships are the true treasures in life. Not riches. Relationship. Family, friend, and God our Father. I think they are the best of all our treasures. And isn't it sad we live in a society that seems to demean and denigrate those very treasures? Look what's going on in our families today. Relationships should be valuable. We should prize it. We got something going on right now at the house. I told Savior, I said, well, you might as well prepare for this. Looks like you're going to turn into Cleo, all right? Cleo, Carson come over a couple of times to sit on the deer stand. We come out at dark. Savior had supper ready. A third person sat down at the table with us. You know that? The other day, Kevin stopped in. I was so glad I didn't go back for that other pork chop, all right? You know what I told Carson? He walked out. I said, buddy, you're welcome at my house anytime. You just come on. That's precious to me, you see. Friendship. My life has been enriched by friendship. Oh, my soul. I was thinking this morning of some of the saints I have known in these 36 years that are in heaven today. But they passed my way or I passed their way and they blessed me. I'm grateful. That's the true treasures of life. Relationships. And I want you to think with me just for a moment, a couple of verses of scripture. You see, Jesus said in John 17:3, he said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is life, now and forever, to know God, to have a relationship with God. The highest expression of relationship we have with God. Knowing Him, knowing His grace. But let me share a couple. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to these two verses, verse 19 and 20. Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians. Look what he says. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. I think that's a rather bold statement myself. I don't know if I would have made it, but Paul did. What does that say? I believe what that's saying is that the Thessalonians were precious to Paul. They were dear to him. And he's saying, I do look forward to being with you in the presence of the Lord. Some of you ought to feel like that today. Some of you have got loved ones. Some of us have loved ones who have passed on. And we believe, as Paul said of Timothy, persuaded that they had an authentic faith. And so Paul says, I tell you, this is my glory, this is my joy to be in the presence of the Lord with you. They were precious to him. Nothing wrong with that. But then hear this. In Philippians 3, Paul's personal testimony now, he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing. I'm sorry. I'll get it straight in a minute. All right, hold on a minute. Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. The Thessalonians were precious to him. Christ was priceless to him. Paul says, I am willing to give everything for Jesus. What's that song we've sung over the years? Jesus is all the world to me. You see, Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. I hope your heart today is with your relationships. I hope your heart is with your spouse. I hope your heart is with your children. I hope your heart is with your parents and family. I hope your heart is with your friends. But they are the lesser ones. That's kind of like triage, isn't it? They're not as important. They're important, but not as important. I hope your heart is with the Lord. I hope and pray today you treasure Christ. I heard a sermon one time where the preacher says, if we're not careful, we'll treasure trash and trash treasures. I hope you treasure Christ today. I hope you do not treat him lightly. I hope you do not speak of him in an indifferent way, haphazard way. I hope you treasure him today. And so some of us today need to go to our bank book. And we need to regard some of the things we have treasured as trash. And yet realize there are things that we have trashed that are the true treasures. I was thinking this morning of where Jeremiah said in Lamentations 5, turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be turned, returned. What did Jesus say in Revelations 2 to the church? You know what it was? You've left your first love. Could we say honestly right now, the song's lyrics, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Would you bow with me?